The object of life is not to be on the side of the majority, but to escape finding oneself in the ranks of the insane. And that was Marcus Aurelius from his book Meditations. Welcome, by the way, to this special episode of the Dan Hood podcast. For those of you that don't know, I am your host, Daniel Schwierep, and I have a little something different for you today. I have a bit of an update. I started with that quote because I've been thinking about it a lot, and mostly because I recently went insane, at least by our society's standards. And it made me realize just how wrong the majority is. Now, true, you don't want to be actually insane. You don't want everyone to think you're insane. But you definitely don't want to be on the side of the majority, especially right now. Our society is really, really sick, I think. It is fucked, dude. Just look around you. I don't even need to give you examples. You kind of know this. You kind of feel it in your bones. And it's not fucked for the reasons you think it's fucked, possibly. But just look at the state of people. Everyone is in so much pain. Everyone's fat. Everyone's depressed. Everyone is feels as if there's something wrong with them, and they're not brave enough to show their true selves to the world. Everyone's hiding, everyone's afraid. And yeah, I think society, in the way it is structured, is fucking us up. And now we're seeing two very large, significant responses to that. You have the woke thing, which has kind of gone mainstream. And there's something right about it. They're pointed in the right direction in some sense. But the people pushing it do not have your best interests at heart. And you can tell that because of the way they treat their enemies. You should feel sorry for your enemy. You shouldn't hate them. There's a bit of a denial of reality that a lot of the woke mainstream crowd kind of propagates. Again, look, the problems that they're identifying, I think, are important. A lot of, like I said, a lot of people are in a lot of pain, and the reasons they're in a lot of pain are because of society in some sense and how it's structured. And then you have the response to that, which is the Andrew Tate crowd, the red pill, the hyper-masculinity side of things, let's say. You could see the woke side as the, like, Oedipal, overbearing, overprotective mother that will eventually consume her children as they lose all sense of individuality because they're too afraid to interact with the world because the mother has smothered them. And you can see the Andrew Tate red pill side as the tyrannical father, that disciplinarian who, if you just step out of line a little bit or you don't do the thing you're supposed to do, they punish you with no regard for anything else. Any of your emotions, any of your struggles. It's a game of winners and losers. It's a zero-sum game. Again, a lot of the problems they talk about are true. Like, a lot of men are struggling. No one gives a fuck about them. Society doesn't give a fuck about most people, in reality. But it's true. Also, you are in the Matrix. Society is lying to you. It is creating a false narrative, a false reality for you to follow. And you know that because you kind of feel it. Things just don't feel right. Most people feel that things aren't right. But the answer they give is more Matrix. It's society is rational and orderly and masculine, so you need to max out rationality and orderliness and masculinity. Get on that grind, bro. And so eventually you will win the game. But the way to beat the Matrix, the way to beat the game, is not to reach the final level. It is to unplug. How you unplug is a very complicated question. Which I don't think I can answer here. The gist is love. Just love each other, find someone to love. Love your friends, love your community, love everyone around you. What that means exactly is a very complicated discussion that we will get to eventually. But let me give you actually a more specific example about how society's fucked and how it keeps fucking you. So let me give you a personal example. I have ADD. I talked about it in the 10th episode in quite a lot of detail if you want to hear about that. But so ADD is attention deficit disorder. And we call it a disorder because what it is does not fit into our current society. What it is literally is that a part of your prefrontal cortex, which is responsible for self-control, just isn't as developed as normal or most people, let's say. The thing with brains and the thing with bodies, though, is that it's a lot of trade-offs. Nothing is really good or bad. It's good or bad depending on the context you find yourself in, the environment you find yourself in. And what I've realized ADD allows me to do is that I can tap into my unconscious mind. I can tap into the people around me and their emotions. I notice more things than other people. It's very hard to utilize those things. It's very hard to kind of rein the chaos of my mind in and focus it, but it's doable. The biggest problem with ADD is the way it interacts with our society. Because you develop a bunch of coping mechanisms to deal with what essentially is a feeling in your stomach. If you've ever taken acid or mushrooms or just any type of mind-altering substance, really, you'd be a little bit familiar with this feeling. It's that those like kind of butterflies in your stomach, that like pressure almost in your stomach or chest. That is kind of what I feel and what everyone with ADD feels all the time, just not as intensely. Although I'm sure different people feel it to different degrees. And essentially all the behaviors we associate with ADD come from you figuring out ways to deal with that. So you end up becoming hyperactive and have poor impulse control, and you're easily distracted, you play video games too much, etc., etc. There's a whole list. Now, when you do this as a child, you are punished. And so what you learn is that your inner feelings, your deepest natural instincts are wrong. They are bad. And so you feel a lot of shame because of that. You grow up with this deep sense of shame. And then you, so society fucks you up, and then you go to society and you ask for a cure. And they give you poison. They give you a mind-altering substance that makes you fit into society. Instead of changing society to make it fit these people, we force them to fit into society. Because, let's be honest, all of a sudden, all of these fucking people are being diagnosed with ADD and autism and bipolar disorder and this and that and the other thing. It's almost as if society is making us sick. It's not that, like, it's also with the fat thing. Like, okay, fat acceptance is good in a sense because, yes, you should accept yourself and you should love yourself regardless of what state you find yourself in, because ultimately you are where you are, and yes, you've made mistakes, but there's a lot of situations around you that you had no control over that brought you to the point you're at. So like with the fat acceptance thing, that part of it is important, but being fat is also unhealthy. However, the reason everyone's fat is not because they are lazy, unmotivated, or because there's something wrong with them. It's because society fucks them up and then they eat their feelings or insert some other problem with their hormones that doesn't allow them to metabolize food in some way. Whatever the reason that they're fat is. And then you go to society and tell them, how do I get thin? And they give you the thing that works for the people it works for. We have lost the spiritual leaders. We have lost the community leaders that are supposed to guide us to solving the problems ourselves. Because this can sound like I'm saying that society doesn't know what the fuck they're talking about. All our institutions are corrupt and everyone is dumb, which is kind of true. But it can also sound like I'm saying, I know the truth. I know what the right way to go about things is. That's not what I'm saying. I have opinions. I have very strong opinions about a very particular subset of reality, namely love and relationships and all these things, because this is what I've been doing all my fucking life. But ultimately, what is good for you, only you know that. Or at least you know what you know. I think your subconscious mind, your unconscious mind, is a combination of your ancestral knowledge, your genetics, your you know, the patterns that evolution has pre-programmed into your brain. We are not a blank slate. But then it is also the things you have experienced, the things you have learned in life. And even your failures have taught you things. Everything has taught you things. And so, whatever you feel is the right thing to do, once you've passed it through the filter of science and reason, like, you shouldn't act impulsively. Trust me, I've struggled with impulsive behavior all my life. I had a very unhealthy relationship with risk. But ultimately, once you pass your feelings and your natural instincts, your intuition, through that filter, then you should trust your fucking intuition. And it will not necessarily get you what you want. But it will teach you about the world. And if you keep doing that, and you keep doing that, and you keep doing that, especially if you do that in one particular field, then, or actually a couple of fields, then you start to get some superpowers, I think, because you realize that, hey, all the predictions I keep making are correct. You train your intuition and you start to see the patterns in the universe. So what I'm trying to say is you're not fucked and there's nothing wrong with you, bro. Or sis. Now, what does that mean for this podcast? I understand we're in a weird hole right now. And I'll get out of it. Don't worry. We'll get out of it. I don't want this to end negatively. But yeah, what it means for the podcast is that I'm this is all I'm going to publish for this month, for January. And for February, I have another two episodes coming out that I filmed at the end of last year before I had certain epiphanies and revelations, before I went insane, essentially. And then come from March, I'll still be having the conversations with people and comedians that I know and love. And there'll be fun. There'll be a lot of fun. But I think the way I'm going to be speaking and the positions I'm going to be having are going to be a little bit different than I had before. There's a lot of things looking back on the last year. I'm very proud of everything that happened with the podcast. It's gone much better than I expected. I think I mentioned that already. But yeah, you know, there's my thinking has evolved. And there's a lot of things that I think I'm going to be doing differently from now on. And I think that's where... Actually, you know what? I'll leave off with two things. If I had to give you a heuristic to deal with the world, I would say, when in doubt, just love each other. Love your wife or husband, love your friends, love your family, love your community, love everyone around you. And I will leave you with a quote from Brave New World, one of my favorite books of all time by Aldous Huxley, to maybe give you something to meditate on about the meaning of love and what the meaning of life and what you should be striving for. Because again, I don't have the answers for you. No one has the fucking answers. You discover the answers yourself. So I think this is a good quote to end on. Actual happiness always looks pretty squalid in comparisons with the overcompensations for misery. Actually, I'll start that again. Fucked it up. I'm not gonna cut this out. I don't give a fuck. Actual happiness always looks pretty squalid in comparison with the overcompensations for misery. And, of course, stability isn't nearly so spectacular as instability. And being contented has none of the glamour of a good fight against misfortune, none of the picturesqueness of a struggle with temptation or a fatal overthrow by passion or doubt. Happiness is never grand.